Well, good morning.
It
is great to be here. And as I was back in my office just a few minutes ago, you know, I got really nervous. I don't know why. You know, I think it's my home church and I'm preaching the word from my home church. I think I got a little bit more nervous than usual, but that's okay. God is good, right? And God's word is always the truth. And Pastor, I got to tell you, I was on your side yesterday, okay? I told my son that Meriden needs to get something on the board. And he's like, no, they don't. I said, yes, they do. And so I was on your side, okay? I'm going to just tell you that straight out from the pulpit, and that's the truth, okay? So it is good to be here, guys, and it really is. You have, as a supporting church and as a sending church, you have been so good to us in the past couple of years as we've been here. And especially Pastor being able to take time to go down to Trinidad with me the first time and search that out, you know, and, you know, be with me, walk around the neighborhoods, talk, pray together. The missions conferences, the increased support that you gave to us this past year, you guys have been one loving church, one supporting church, praying for us last year and all those things I've had in the hospital and visiting me. And it's been lovely to be in a church and have a home church that would do that and that would surround your missionaries like that. And it's been amazing. And as Pastor said, we found out a few weeks ago our paperwork is in Trinidad. They said they had no problems putting our paperwork in. Everything we needed was right there, and so it's in Trinidad. I was told not to expect it to go through until sometime in January, just because of Thanksgivings and the holidays in Trinidad, Christmas holidays. So sometime in January we will be heading out, and we are still waiting for that to happen, as well as our support to come in. We still need a little bit more support to come in. We do have some churches looking at us right now, you know, looking at supporting us, so we're praying for that to go through. And our goal is that when our paperwork is done and our support comes in, we'll be able to head to the field. So we are just praying. We are waiting. I always tell people we are in a waiting game. Okay, we're in a waiting game. We're just waiting to see what God's going to do and praise him for whatever he does for that. And so it's good to be here, though, and to preach the word of God to you as well. I'd like to think a minute with you about invitations. You know, we get invitations all the time, whether it be those promotional flyers in the mail that we get, or we get invitations to weddings, or we get invitations to graduation ceremonies, or we get invitations to, you know, pretty much anything anymore, right? And so we get these invitations, we look at them, we open them up, we look at them, and we have a choice, right? We can either reject the invitation and not go, or we can accept it and we can go to the graduation or the wedding. I have a cell phone. Everybody has a cell phone, and on my cell phone, when I know somebody calling me, I have a name come up. Pastor called me yesterday, said Greg Shipe on my phone. I said, okay, I'll answer this one because I know Pastor. But other ones I get through, they say restricted, or they say an unknown number. And I'm pretty tempted when I get those things in my phone to not answer that phone call because I don't know the person who's calling me. Now take all that and consider the gospel, will you? We have been given an invitation from God over and over and over again. I want you to think with me this morning about this question. Do you hear the call of the gospel? And if you do hear the call of the gospel, what are you doing with it? Let's have a word of prayer. We'll read the passage again, and then we'll open up God's word, and we'll talk about these 14 verses this morning. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for the opportunity to be here. I love this church. This church has been so good to our family. I pray, Lord, that you would just calm me this morning. That as we open up your word, it is your word. I am your vessel this morning. May you just help us to understand what this part of this word is saying. And may we apply it to our life. May you use us in a mighty way as we go from here this morning to use us to reach people for you. Lord, just go before us in these next few minutes together. May we have great fellowship around your word, and may we apply it to our life. In your name, amen. Let's read this passage of scripture again, if you would, Matthew chapter 22, and then we'll just go verse by verse and just see what's going on in this passage. Matthew 22, starting in verse number 1. Says, and Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables, and said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king, which made a marriage for his son. And he sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again, he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth. And he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. Then saith he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good. And the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen. Verse number 1, it says, and Jesus answered and said, spake unto them. Now, question is, who would be the them? Well, Jesus in chapter 21 was just teaching parables. He just spoke of the parable of the vineyard. He just spoke of the parable of the two sons, and those two parables were given to a group of people, the chief priests and the Pharisees. And as we read, go up to chapter 21 and verse number 45, it says, when the chief priests and Pharisees had heard his parables, they perceived that he spoke of them. But when they sought to lay hands on him, they feared the multitude, because they took him for a prophet. So when they see that them, in verse 1, is talking about the chief priests and Pharisees. He answered, he made a reply to the Pharisees, who was enraged at him for what he had already spoken to them. He made a still further statement to show how the gospel would be received and treated by them and us. What is a parable? It says he spoke unto them by parables. Well, the word in Greek is parabole, and it means to place together for the purpose of comparison, to set side by side to compare two things. I've always heard it as growing up, a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Okay, that's It's the best way I know how to describe a parable. I've also saw online it's a physical story that casts a spiritual truth. It's a short story illustrating a spiritual truth. It's something earthly applied to something heavenly. Okay, and as I went through, I wondered, I said, how many parables has Jesus spoken in the Gospels? And people say somewhere between 30 and 100 parables, depending on how you describe a parable. But I found as I skimmed through the Gospels, Jesus spoke right around 30 actual parables in the Bible. So, verse 2. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son. So now we see the topic of the parable, right? The kingdom of heaven. It's like, it's compared to. It's compared to, it's made like, it resembles. Okay, so the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king. Now here's where we get into this, okay? The king that we are talking about here would be none other than God the Father himself. Okay? It would be God the Father himself, and he made a marriage for his son. That would be Christ. And this word marriage here would be one of two things. Okay? This could be one of two things right here. It could actually be an actual marriage, which would be, for us today, that would be Christ unifying people who were sinful against him in the church. That would be the Christ to the church. But I don't think that's what this means right here, okay? Honestly, don't. The other side, the other definition of this marriage, it could be a marriage feast. Let me explain this. A marriage feast. It could be the economy of the gospel, during which men are invited to partake of the blessings purchased by the incarnation and death of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what I think it's talking about. And as we go down through, you'll see why I understand that to be the meaning. So Jesus Christ, it has a marriage made by God the Father, a marriage feast, right? Verse 3. And he sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Before we go on to verse 3, I forgot something in verse 2. Who would be the bride? If the marriage bridegroom is Christ, who would be the bride? It would be the church, right? It would be us as the church, the created sinless ones who fell in Adam, who lost the image of God, who came short of his glory, who were condemned to death eternally, spiritually, physically, but married to Christ because of his love for us. We see that. Verses in Matthew 9:15. You don't have to turn there. It says, and Jesus said unto them, can the children of the bride chamber mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them, and then shall they fast. Again, another verse, 2 Corinthians 11, verse 2. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Ephesians 5:23. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. So we see in chapter 22 that God made a marriage for his son, Jesus Christ. We are the bride. Okay, now verse 3, sorry. And he sent forth his servants. He sent out on a mission his servants. Now we're going to see as we go through this, there are three types of servants, right? There are three different people described as servants as we go through this passage. And verse number 3 says, and he sent forth his servants. Who would those servants be? Those would be people way back in the Old Testament, the prophets of old, the Hebrew prophets, going all the way up into John the Baptist and into Jesus Christ himself. Okay? So he sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding. Now you see, in the East, still today in the East, when you were invited to a wedding, an invitation would go out beforehand. Okay, and so you would get an invitation, just like when my wife and I were married, we sent out an invitation beforehand. Okay, but then when it came closer to the time of the feast or to the wedding, servants would go out and they would again invite or remind the people that it was ready to come. Okay, still customary in the East today. And so Jesus, or God, sent out his servants, John the Baptist, the Hebrew prophets, even Jesus Christ himself, to tell people that the marriage feast was ready. Now, remember, the marriage feast is that of the gospel dispensation, the time we live in, okay? This time of the gospel coming to people, okay? Verse 3. And he sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Oh, my friends. This is the first of three responses we can have to the gospel today. The word "they would not come" has to do with a refusal to even listen to the gospel. They would not even listen. They had a will inside of them that said, I am not going to go. I am not going to listen to this. They already determined beforehand that they were not going to do that. Folks, don't you meet people like that today? You meet people like that today, right? You try to talk to them. You try to share the gospel with them. And what happens? I don't want to hear it. Don't even go. Don't even tell me. I've had other people tell me, and I don't want to hear what you have to say to me. I will not believe. I will not change my ways. I will not, because I have to give up the things that I love to do what you're telling me. I'm not going to do it. So here's these servants. They go out. They tell these people, and they will not come. It's a stubborn refusal to accept Jesus as God's son. Matthew 23:37, again, listen, please. Matthew 23:37 says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and have stoned and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. John 5:40, and ye will not come to me, that ye might have life. Acts 13:45. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy, and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. They would not even listen. Don't be that type of person. Don't be that type of person. Look at verse 4. Again, he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which were bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. other servants, other slaves. Now, these are people in the scripture. These represent people like Barnabas, Saul, and others who were joined with the help of the apostles to go out and share the gospel message up until